how you want to live your life and how you want your smart home to feel and behave. You're able to visualize those experiences, and it's going to incentivize people to opt for more devices because they want a reason to have the best experience out there.
Welcome everyone to Tech by Design, where the Richmond Technology Council takes you to the edge for trending tech and innovation here in Richmond, Virginia. I'm Nick Surface, CEO of RVA Tech, along with Alex Atanias, CEO of Shopko. Come join us.
All right. Well, good morning, everyone. We are back in action. We have got an awesome guest today who's going to join us to talk about smart spaces in our lives, where we work, where we live, all that great stuff. So we're joined by Haram, who's a global director and head of user experience at Whirlpool. If you want to just start kind of with your background, fill us in on who you are, and thank you for joining us.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me. Good morning, everyone. I'm Haram Dandekar. I lead the user experience group at Whirlpool Corporation. We look at every product we design from a user standpoint, from an occupant of a home standpoint, and our goal is to support our users' lifestyle in the best way possible. So that's the work in the smart home, home goods space. Most of my career, I've been in the automotive industry. Again, looking at it from the occupant of a vehicle standpoint and making sure that they are feeling safe, feeling like they're in control while they're driving, and designing for their experiences while driving as well as when they're stationary in their vehicle. So it's a pleasure to be here. It's a fun topic. Always excited to talk to individuals who are excited about experiences in their homes, smart or non-smart, and their vehicles.
Yeah, kind of piggybacking off of that, we wanted to start by getting your thoughts on user experience when it comes to smart home devices. What are some of the things or the trends that you've seen in that space recently, or anything that you feel like really stands out?
In the smart home space, I think we all have seen trends of IoT devices and connected devices for the last 20 years or more. What I'm seeing more of recently is how do you get those smart devices to connect and link together to provide an experience to the user? And I don't believe we have a really good comprehensive solution yet, but there are some projects that I'm working on actively with companies where that will happen. And with the introduction of the Matter standard, it's going to increase the adoption of smart home technologies. We already have an adoption of connected devices, but these are individual connected devices that you control through your phone or voice. But it's about all these devices coming together to provide you that experience that you desire.
Quick question. So as we talk about user experience and brand, you know I'm a big advocate of brand, but how do you think a company can, once this happens, right? So once Matter really starts taking a hold of the industry, what are your thoughts on a brand standing out, right? So you obviously have either the appliance or the device or the switch, and there's an aspect of brand there in terms of how it's designed and how it works. But when it all comes together and it's connected, do you have any thoughts on how a brand stands out and how do you design to stand out?
That's a really good question, Alex. So what Matter is going to do, to your point, it is going to make interoperability very, very simple, right? Today, it's not as easy for you to connect different devices that are manufactured by different companies together and link them together for a couple of reasons. One, the user experience in order to link them together and create routines is inconsistent. And secondly, the devices aren't always compatible. Right. So Matter is going to solve those issues. Now, the way a brand stands out, it's going to be multiple avenues for a brand to stand out. One is it needs to build trust in your users. Right. So with data being the big piece, as we talk of AI and as we talk of connected devices, first of all, the users of these devices need to trust the brand. Right. So the brand has to develop that level of trust. I've always said one simple way of developing that trust is transparency. of how that data is being used, and also develop and maintain that two-way street. The corporation is getting data, but what is the user getting? And if that trade-off is worth it, the users are going to opt for it, right? So I think trust is first and foremost. Secondly, it's digital design as well as physical design, because the physical design needs to match with the user's expectations, whether they want this device or this product to stand out and be a center point of their kitchen or their home, or do they want this device to integrate well with their ambience and with their aesthetics, right? So that piece is going to play an important part. The digital experience, of course, it needs to be on par with the best technology companies out there. And the other piece is very important, which is support, customer support and service. When something goes wrong in your smart home, that's a broken experience. And as we can all relate to a broken refrigerator, broken, wall oven, it's never good. So those are the experiences when brands really differentiate themselves from the others. A strong brand, even if it perhaps doesn't have the brand cachet as a big brand and a well-known brand like KitchenAid, but if the brand can really show the users that we have your back when you need us, that's going to be a key piece to the smart home adoption and for a brand to stand out.
Hiram, sorry, Nick, I'll let you jump in, but one question on that, Hiram. Lots of strings to pull there, but I was actually experiencing this a similar situation this weekend, and I wanted to get your take on this. But you mentioned customer support is essential for a brand to stand out, and the transparency. On the customer support front, right, prior to IoT or connected experiences, you essentially had your traditional warranty, right? You have a warranty. If something happens, the brand will fix it. If not, you buy a new one or whatever. I'm trying to simplify that just to make a point. But now that we have this connected experience, you are more connected to the brand than ever. So if something breaks, do you feel like buyers or consumers or the people that engage with your brand expect a higher level of support because of that connected experience? And if so, does that increase the cost for a brand? And I mean, what can you tell us about that piece, or what have you seen in the market space? So again, it's just now that a product's connected and you're engaging with the product, right? My sense is that customers have this higher expectation or increased expectation.
You're spot on. Absolutely, they do. Because it's almost like you are having a conversation with the device, right? It's not at that point yet, but it will soon be, where you're literally having a conversation with the device. So there is that raised expectation in terms of being able to resolve my matter, right? And the way companies are approaching that, it's not the same standard way, right? Some companies are investing heavily in technologies that are actually getting the ability to claim a warranty, to the ability to actually contact customer service onto their apps. I believe that's the way to go, is make it easier. The 1-800 number might still be there, but depending on the newer generation and what they're comfortable with, it's more about ease of connecting with the department, letting them know of what the issue is, maybe attach a video or an image to give them a good sense of what the issue could be, and then at least get yourself in the line, in the queue, and then expect a call back versus calling a 1-800 number, staying on hold, and then, that's never a good experience. So there are companies that are actually working hard to get this enabler out there, where ease of communication, ease of being able to seek help is introduced.
Yeah, no, Hiram, you mentioned the integration, or that the next step, or what people are looking for, full integration where everything's working together. That kind of reminds me of car, and I know you have a little bit of background in the automotive industry as well. It seems like the car kind of represents that ideal coordination and bringing different components coming together. Can you compare fast with you? In the home appliance segment versus the automotive segment, and how they're maybe learn from each other?
Absolutely. By the way, Nick, your voice was cracking in and out, but I think I captured the essence of your question. It's about connected and smart home versus smart vehicles. What are some of the overlaps and how do I see those two spaces? Perfect. The vehicle is an interesting space, by the way. I mean, even though most people spend significant time in their vehicles, there's a few things that they do on a regular basis: phone calls, navigation, music. And the automotive industry really needs to work harder to give experiences that extrapolate their expectations. I think it hasn't gone that far, but there's work that's happening that will take it far in the near future. In the automotive industry, the advanced systems, we call them active safety and passive safety systems, started getting introduced back in the early 2010s and 20-teens. And understandably so, the focus was always on safety, right? That's first and foremost, safety of the occupants. So we've seen those safety systems progress quite a bit by now, right? There is, active lane departure systems. There is cameras that are keeping you safe. There's blind spot monitoring. The car can automatically brake for you if it sees an obstacle or a pedestrian. And of course, an array of other systems that come to your safety. And of course, there's autonomous driving. That's, companies like Tesla that love to innovate aggressively have full self-driving that pretty much drives itself, but it's far from perfect. I get in trouble quite a bit with my wife for using that system because I know why it's doing what it's doing, because I know what it can see and how it's processing data. And I like to really use it to learn the system, and every update it gets better. But it's not well liked by my better half. And other manufacturers have systems as well. It's not unleashed at the point that Tesla's is, but Ford, GM, Stellantis, BMW, Mercedes, and many others have their version of short bursts of autonomous driving. And they're being conservative for a good reason, right? It's lives at stake. So we've seen the systems progress from a safety and autonomous driving standpoint to a certain extent. Where I see more opportunities is the in-vehicle experience. When I spent most of my career in the automotive industry, and at Ford, we always talked about it's the driving experience and the stationary experience. They're both equally important. And the stationary experience is almost similar to autonomous driving to a point where, you don't have to look at the road. And we have made small incremental steps. By the way, you guys might not know this vehicle, but there's a 2023 Ford Tourneo van that's available in Europe, where the steering wheel rotates to become a circular table, where you can actually rest your laptop or your tablet to watch a movie when you're not driving. So those kinds of experiences, that example was a physical articulation of a steering wheel. But these experiences from a physical and digital standpoint that really attempts to get you to your desired mental state, that's what's going to come in the next few years. And I think that hasn't happened enough, because if you think about it, your vehicle is a controlled environment and the vehicle operating system has a few levers at its disposal. There is ambient lighting, there is sound, there's temperature, olfactory as well, with digital sense being introduced by a few manufacturers. So it could really learn from your wearables and your, from your biometrics to get you into that desired mental state and really help your lifestyle. That hasn't happened in a big way, and that's what I'm excited for.
Haram, quick question on that one. So I read about maybe a week or two ago now, is Elon Musk basically came out and has stated that they are redefining the new Tesla Roadster, I believe, and it's going to be more like a rocket ship than it is a car. And he said, I think he came out and said as much as he alluded to the fact that it'll have a yoke rather than a steering wheel, and the driving experience is going to resemble more of a plane than it does a car. I mean, have you read about this, or have you given this any thought in terms of just radically shifting the way automobiles are designed? I mean, obviously beyond the two wheels.
I think when it comes to driving on the road, there are certain things that are really ingrained in our minds as humans, and we're creatures of habit. We have to leverage the mental models when you design a car. And the shift happens slowly, right? So when it comes to the way people drive, yes, I am a firm believer in extrapolating the current system and looking at what's possible for the future, and even radically designing your North Stars for the company that radically question the current infrastructure and the current product design. Totally in favor of that. However, when it comes to the next generation, if you're talking about a 2027 vehicle, it needs to have 80% commonality, just throwing out a number, with what's out there, and that's just leveraging the current mental model. Now, I have heard even Ferrari has filed a patent on little jet thrusters, and the Tesla Roadsters potentially is going to have some thrusters that basically uses rocket science and rocket technology to shoot you forward in the straight line, right? So they're claiming under 2 second 0-60 at one point I'd heard 1 second. So that's incredibly fast. So I see utilization of rocket technology from that standpoint. But when it comes to point A to point B driving, like I said, the vehicle environment and how a user interacts with the vehicle has to have significant resemblance to what the cars have been, just to leverage their mental model and keep them safe.
Haram, my last question for you as a design lead in both the home and automobile space, how do you design for longevity, right? Unlike an iPhone or a watch, these products aren't being replaced or switched every, call it, year to 3 years. I'm assuming that the average kitchen basically lasts for about 7 to 10, and the car, I don't know what the longevity for a car is, but I'm guessing it's 5 or 6. But how do you design for longevity?
That's a great question. That's the question and challenge that I pose to our teams every quarter, is we have to look at that longevity, and our architecture, software architecture, as well as the UI architecture, has to be nimble to adapt. And again, this is where the brands will stand out moving forward, is how does a brand keep your appliances refreshed over almost a decade? And by the way, you were pretty spot on in terms of the average time span for an appliance in a home. It may not be your home, but it's in a home. And I think having a strong strategy from an OTA standpoint, making sure that your UIs are kept updated, having the right memory, the right chipset behind it to power it all, that's key. Almost designing for the future is super important. As we all know, the cost of sensors and displays are going down at a rapid rate because there's so many of them used in different industries. So having a smart strategy for your procurement and investing in the right technologies and designing your appliances with the future in mind. So that's what Tesla did really well back in 2012, is their vehicles were designed 5 years out. So even in 2017, a 2012 vehicle can pretty much be on par with the vehicle that's out there. Even today, their vehicles that are 5 years old don't feel 5 years old because the vehicle is designed from a software and a hardware standpoint to adapt. And it's not easily done, but this is where the appliance industry and all manufacturers are heading in the direction that they want to be more technologically sound, and they want to have strategies that are designing appliances for the future.
I really like that point that you made on the longevity of it. I feel like that kind of brings the conversation full circle back to that building like brand loyalty and meeting your customers kind of with a new level of customer experience and satisfaction. The longevity plays a really important role in that. If I'm going to invest in something, I want to make sure that it's still operable and good in a couple of years and I don't have to invest in a new thing. I know we're coming up on time, but Alex, Nick, anybody else? I just didn't know if we had any last questions before we wrap up.
One last statement from my perspective. I love what you just said, and what, just to echo on what Haran said. As we build technology at Shaco or other companies, a lot of times we're looking at 12 to 18 months out, but there's a lot to learn from the car industry, from home appliance industry, from people like Haran, in that they are designing for brands that are 7 to 10 years out. So they're designing for longevity and creating a brand that lasts. And I think there's a lot to learn from that industry, which is really, really cool. So much appreciate this.
Absolutely. No, it was a pleasure being here, chatting about these exciting topics, and nice to meet all of you.
Haran, leave us with some insight. What's some of the two or three coolest things that we should expect from either the home or car industry in the coming 12 to 18 months that you're excited for, aside from Matter?
Ah, wonderful. Well, I will say from our KitchenAid brand, check out the espresso lineup. It is competing with Starbucks. And you can have a more financially responsible alternative to Starbucks at your home. The other one is our grain cooker, which can cook multiple grains, and it's like a Mr. Miyagi of your kitchen. So those things are already out there. What I'm excited about is, again, like I mentioned, in the smart home space, how are these appliances, devices, and all your products coming together to deliver a bunch of features, but experiences to the user, right? You can imagine in the future, and this can be mutually beneficial for corporations as well as users, where you are buying your devices based on the desired experience, right? So imagine if you were able to visualize how you want to live your life and how you want your smart home to feel and behave when you have occupants, when you don't have any guests and it's just a family. If you're able to visualize those experiences and based on that, two or more devices, it's going to incentivize people to opt for more devices because they want, as well as, you know, of course, it gives corporations a reason to have the best experience out there. So it helps both the sides. And I would love that e-commerce setup where you're able to visualize the experiences, buy the products from multiple manufacturers. Doesn't have to be one, manufacturer is taking the cake. But that's going to be a win-win situation. And I think the end user, the occupants, the buyers are going to win sort of an experience of the future in that situation. So I'm really excited for that. Like I said, I'm working on a couple projects that are heading in that direction, but I see more of that happening in the next, let's say, 2 years.
All right. Well, we'll keep our eyes peeled and we can't wait to see what comes next. Thank you again so much for joining us today, and we'll talk soon.